Welcome to LeagueCast.
Blinded by the shadow of your light path. Headshot.
Let's go. More democracy.
Welcome to the League of Dreaming.
Hello and welcome to episode 401 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm your host, Nick Thicken Cooper. Joining me, Aiden Frost Rockards.
Heyo, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
Heyo, what's good?
That's fun. Before we get into our weeks, we've got a lot of news. We got a new patch that we want to talk about, 9.21, a TFT patch alongside it, some cast range stuff that's changing potentially on the PBE. A lot of preseason updates. This is the sort of like, I don't know, a new chapter in LeagueCast. So we have a new section, which we're calling Guaranteed Guffaws, in which case, like, we just kind of do whatever we want. We're going to do two things this time. We're doing a tier list and we're doing a champion spotlight. So that should be a pretty good time. We got roundtable question. LCS. We also mixed up the order. I can't remember. It's LCS and then roundtable, right?
Yeah, I'm literally putting it in the right order.
Okay, hey. Cool. LCS, then roundtable. Then we've got cheese pick. Then we're gonna round it out with mail fight. Aiden, how was your week though?
My week was good, man. Didn't get to play as much League. Was doing some real life stuff with some real life homies. She's not gonna be happy with that one.
not that you referred to it as two homies.
Yeah. No, but I didn't play that much League, I guess, overall. I've also been kind of like swamped with like schoolwork and stuff this week. I still have two like massive assignments that are due Sunday, so I'm gonna try to get those together. I finished one assignment that shouldn't have been like super long, but it's a class that every single assignment is just written so poorly, and it's written in the context of like 2013, where stuff changes on a global level. So how do you do research? Do you do the research based on 2013? I don't know. It's like such a mess. Mm-hmm. And there's never any clarification for that. So I finished that. It was a dumpster fire. So yeah, I guess it's time for like podcast stuff and time for games. And I'm still trying to finish Naruto. I'm almost done it. I'm at like the Madara fight. And then I have that. And then I think it's one more episode. And then it's the movie, like the final movie. I think it's called The Last or something like that. And then I'm supposed to watch Boruto, the movie. And then I'm finished with Naruto.
Have you gotten to the guy fight? You'll know. You would know. Okay, that's coming.
Are you sure? Like, it might have, like, are you talking about earlier, like, when he fights Shark Boy or no?
No.
No. Okay. Yeah,
no, it is the guy fight.
Okay. Yeah, you'll like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll finish that eventually, though.
It might be the coolest. Like, yeah, it probably is. It's so good.
I'm getting a little bit tired of it, but we're near in the end, so maybe I'll like pick up on
it. But imagine if you weren't watching it like a quadruple accelerated pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Be a nightmare. So that was fun. I guess game related stuff. Planning on playing more League, been trying to get my anniversary rewards and stuff. I'm also considering getting Death Stranding when it comes out next week. Ooh. Or is it the week after? Either next week or the week after. And I think that'd be fun. I feel like that's the only reason I want to get it. Like, I don't really care that much, but I feel like that is the game to get and just play through the second you get it. You know what I mean? Like, just going to be so either batshit crazy. It might be terrible. Probably will be terrible.
Batshit good.
But I feel like it's just the game that you want to experience firsthand. You know what I mean? You don't want anything spoiled about it. So I might do that. And I also might get Pokemon when it comes out. I'll probably get Pokemon when it comes out like 2 weeks later after that. So,
do you own a Switch?
I do own a Switch. Yeah. Oh, okay. Barely gets used though. Yeah. Not a lot of Switch stuff, turns out.
Nice.
The stuff it does get used for is good though. I think that's about it. If you haven't watched episode 400, go to our YouTube channel, LeagueCast Podcast, and watch our Jeopardy thing. We had a lot of fun. I think it was actually like pretty all right.
It was sick. You did a really good job, Aiden.
I think that you were a terrible host, and I don't appreciate that you were biased in the way that you read questions and reset buzzers.
I went back through and, like, watched it, and I think the only one that I was, like, actually probably shouldn't have given you was for She's Out of Your League. I think giving you what did you guys say?
I just said out of your league.
Yeah, I feel like that might have been too far. But, like, it also ruins the question because anyone else gets it when you say that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think that might be one of those where it's like, can you be more specific? Yeah. But even at that point, like, that's iffy. That being said, I think we won by like 8,000, so.
Yeah. So that was fun, though. So maybe we'll, like, do some of those other games, like, in a better way. Because I figured out that I can, like, actually play audio through my, like, thing way easier. I learned that the day after, which is cool. And also,
that's how, like, it always happens.
And then also that Splash Art, like, Zoomy game that I played, I feel like that would just be fun as its own, like, thing. So
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good time.
That was my week.
And then you asked Colton. Me how my week was, Aiden.
Colton, how was your week?
Thank you so much for asking, my good friend Aiden. My week was all right. Got about 2 days worth of no power because there was a tornado that hit north of here. So that was fun, not being able to use my computer or charge my phone at home. So spent a good amount of time just, like, hanging out places, charging my phone. I played a little bit of League. I played a good amount of a, like, kind of RTS economy game called Offworld Trading Company that I've been enjoying. But I'm also not sure how good of a game I actually think it is. Because, like, the more I learn it, I'm, like, I feel like a lot of it doesn't seem like you have a lot of meaningful choices. Like, and I think that's because I'm bad at it, honestly, but I'm not sure. So I'm excited to dig a little deeper into that game and see where it goes, but, like, I think it might be one of those games that, like, I put a lot of time into and then drop it because I, like, realized that it was just, like, that honeymoon effect and maybe not a lot there, or it could be really good, so I'll keep you guys posted on that. I finished reading An Absolutely Remarkable Thing by Hank Green. Good book if you haven't read it, and if you don't know who Hank Green is, he's a popular internet guy. You should know that. Nick, Aiden, do you guys know what I'm talking about at all?
I do not.
Oof. He's the guy that made VidCon and, like, has a ton of YouTube channels. He does, like, SciShow, Crash Course, if you've seen any of those videos. Anyway, he wrote a book. It's real good. And that's, I think, pretty much all that happened for me this week. So I'll hand it over to you, Nick. What are you up to?
I went to a wedding this past week, which is the big,
hell
big
yeah.
Thing started.
You married now?
No, I am not married. It was a very good time. Spent the weekend in Chicago and traveling, and then came back and started new classes, the last two that I'll have for this semester. So pretty exciting stuff. I'm caught up on my my daily missions.
Yeah, but are you caught up on Worlds?
I've been watching game. Like the highlights and not every single game, but I have gone back and watched the ones that I deemed good enough to worth a replay. I'm very excited for Worlds this weekend, which I will be watching after they happen, I think.
So yeah, unless you're getting up at like 6 a.m.
Yeah. I am very excited that I am only 5 points away, 18 of the World's Pass points away from getting a prestige skin, so that'd be pretty cool. And then on day 9, I'll have, how much is that? 2 plus, I'll have 7 gemstones, getting me closer to another gemstone skin, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, so I'm gonna be at 7 also, and I'm pretty hyped for that.
Have you guys gotten anything good from the rewards? I yesterday crafted, I think, 4 skins with all the orange essence.
I got 2 fiddlestick skins today, so now I'm only 2 skins away from having all the fiddle skins. He's got like 8 or 9 skins. I didn't realize because I'm like, I already have so many fiddle skins. I have to have them all. And I looked and it's like, nope, there's still more.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, is there a way to see which skins you opened recently?
I think if you go to your collection, there's like a recent option. But yeah, I got Union Jack and Spectral Fiddlesticks. I already had Bendito, nice. Pumpkinhead, Fiddle Me Tivers, Surprise Party, and Dark Candy. But I don't have Risen or Praetorian.
Ooh. You don't want Praetorius, don't worry.
Yeah,
I don't. But
except for the fear sound effect.
But I want them all, you know?
Yeah. But I know one of them was Project Vane. One of them was Battle Academia Lux, Jaximus. And then there's a fourth one that I can't. Oh, it was Super Galaxy Elise. Those are the four that I crafted yesterday from the 3000 Essence.
Nice.
That's sick. Yeah.
Super sick, yeah.
I was like, wait, why do I have all of this Essence? I totally forgot like that was one of the things. It's mm-hmm. like when I got those skin charts, I'm like, oh, I can turn these into skins. Why do I have so much Essence?
Nice. How about you, Aiden? You get anything good from
Nothing from notable. I feel like I have a lot of skins, though, so like everything I get is kind of like a skin I own.
Yeah.
I'm also sitting on, like, after that, like, 7,000 oranges. So nice. I'm trying to craft whatever I can whenever it comes up. So
yeah,
it's not a bad place to be in, though, I guess. Not a bad problem to have.
Mm-hmm. Should I upgrade my Samsung Gnar shard? I feel like I already have Gentleman Gnar and, like, Dino Gnar. So why would I ever need another Gnar skin?
Samsung's really good, though.
Yeah, but it's not... He's not wearing pajamas.
Just do it.
All right, fine. I'll do it right now on the show.
Poggers, wow. Dude. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it for my week. This upcoming week, I'm very excited because the Kanye West album comes out and the Kanye West movie that is accompanying it.
Or allegedly. Does it come out? Or
allegedly.
Allegedly.
Well, you can purchase the album. So
you could purchase sweaters, too, 3 weeks
You could purchase. Yeah,
you can pre-order things in a lot.
I have purchased my movie tickets. I'm very excited. It's going to be fun. I hope.
Yeah.
So that's let's get into... Weeks. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's our week, so I was going to move on into the patrons.
Get into the show. We have 3 new patrons this week, Alex, Annie, and Mariah. Thank you all for your support. And then in 2 episodes, we'll be reading everyone who supported us. We'll do that once a month.
Do you think that's the actual Annie from League of Legends?
I think so.
That's so cool that she listens to our podcast.
I'm surprised really she has cool. a job. How old is Annie? How old was Annie in season 1? Was she 8? Was she 6?
I think she's 8.
Annie lore.
And
So she's 18 now. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I'm surprised she had enough money, like a job, right? Mm-hmm. And then it turned into... seeing if she was legal, I guess.
That's weird.
That's fun.
That's fucked up, Nick. That's...
I mean, I'm totally not the one
No, you were the weird one who intended that joke. You were just baiting us into doing work for you.
Let's get into the news. We have a new patch 9.21. So we'll run through that very quickly. Garen, his E base damage per spin is decreased. Looks like a pretty small change overall.
Mm-hmm.
It's only down 4 damage per spin, so
I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal at all. Yeah. No. There are like slight Maokai changes. I don't think they're like... Nick, you're a Maokai player. Did these changes like affect him at all? Like, I feel like they don't do anything.
No.
The actual changes are that his W cost got flattened, his damage is increased on his W, and his R root duration is increased. Like, those are nice changes, but I feel like they don't like change him at all.
No, I think he needs like a pretty significant reduction in his cooldown passive or like just some way to survive a lane because he just gets bullied by like literally every champ.
Mm-hmm.
So it's tough, especially like you can take either Conqueror or Klepto into him and just body him the whole game. And that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
There wasn't a ton of changes in here. If we want to talk about like some of the bigger ones, the Pike one was pretty huge. They nerfed his health growth every single level, right? And the passive, his healing from gray health is down pretty significantly late game.
Oh, that's actually huge. Yeah, from 81% down to 50 at level 18. So that's a huge. Yeah,
that's the biggest change in the patch for sure. I mean,
yeah, I think alongside it is the Shaco changes, where they have 20 seconds less, so you get one less box down right at your level one.
I feel like Shaco is already such a shit jungler, honestly.
Yeah.
He's, I feel like,
a
he
very
good.
Impressive laner.
He's just like, he has gimmicks to him. He's always had gimmicks to him, and he continues to have gimmicks with him. But my problem was the fact that Shaco can level 3 gank before people are level 2, right? That's the problem, right?
Yes.
But here's my problem with them saying that's not okay, is I think his level 3 gank when people are level 1 is worse than Jarvan's level 2 gank.
Oh, absolutely.
And I feel like, why... It just feels so weird to nerf him. You're nerfing him just because, in theory, we think this is wrong, rather than if it's actually wrong. I feel like Jarvan's picked every single solo queue game I play, and he takes his red buff and ganks either top or mid, or bottom or mid, or whatever, right? And he gets flashes every single time because he has the easiest gank in the world. And how is that okay and Shaco's isn't? It's because Shaco has a level 3 in front of his name and Jarvan has a level 2. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah, but like one of those things is more impressive than the other.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know, they nerfed Shaco clear, I guess. Even though I think support Shaco is the best way to play him.
Yeah, I
don't say that to Quinn, he'll get very upset. Good old Sona.
Anything else you want to talk about in the patch?
For the passive bug fixes for the adult woman.
Oh, true.
That's really funny. Yikes. I think that's hilarious.
That's pretty funny, yeah. But
yeah, there's really not any other changes. This is going to be like one of the last patches of the year, though. Season ends on November 23rd, I think. November 20th, something like that. Something like
yeah, something. I think it's the 20th.
Yeah. So, like, this is probably going to be like one of the last big patches. There'll be one more patch before the end of the year, and that'll probably just be like rounding some like weird things off and stuff like that.
Yeah, I got to play one ranking before I decay.
Yeah, everyone can now officially play like one ranked game in all their queues to not decay, because it's 28 days, and that was as of yesterday, I believe.
Are you guys interested in any of these skins? We've got a Blitzcrank, Witch's Brew Blitzcrank, Bewitching Misfortune, the Prestige Edition for that skin, Count Cassadin, and Anniversary, which, do we all get Anniversary?
Yeah. As long as you log in, right? 11 times. Mm-hmm. I like the Prestige Misfortune. I don't really like the original one, but I like the white on the skin. So
that's interesting, because I think I like the original, not the Prestige.
I think I like the original more in game, but like I don't like the splash art for it at all. It doesn't stand out at all. It just kind of looks boring.
Interesting. Yeah. Cool.
Are you guys gonna do any kind of final push for ranked? Like I'm considering trying to go hard and get diamond in TFT before the end of the season.
No.
I mean, I'm already diamond on all my things on my main, and I don't have to play any K games on anything on my main anymore. I have to play one on TFT, but like I'm already.
You wanna play some threes with me so I can get diamond threes for my final season?
I could do that for you. I could help you out a little bit. I know Trevor's been grinding. He's been playing with two players who do Skarner carry, so he's been having fun doing that. So.
Yeah, I feel like I kind of have to, because like it's been one of those things that I did once and then I like never really touched up on again. I would always get to like gold and leave it there. I'm like, I gotta do it for the final season. It's just so terrible playing alone.
Mm-hmm. The only thing like ranked wise I might do is like on my smurfs that are like some of them just aren't placed yet, like they'll get placed gold if I place them, so I might as well just place them, sort of thing, just to get the skin on the account, get an extra character unlocked, sort of thing. Yeah.
Nice.
Cool.
What about the TFT patch?
Yeah, so like I was gonna mention the TFT patch, but it's actually so minuscule. Like there's almost no changes to it, mainly because in 2 weeks' time, out of the 57 characters, I think 45 of them are being replaced or changed. So, well, I mean, all of them are being changed in some way, but like they're 40, like five, there's 45 new characters or something like that. So like there's like no changes to it. Like they're slightly nerfing like knights, you know what I mean? There's like almost nothing. So I thought it wasn't even like worth mentioning any of the changes, especially since like go on the PvE and play like some of the new characters right now. It's actually insane. I don't think I currently like the direction they're going with season two, just based on like what I've seen, but they'll probably address all that and fix it up before it goes live, because it looks like kind of a mess, but it looks fun, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So cash range stuff. stuff. Blah, 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 blah. So what, this is, I saw this on the subreddit where they are changing they have experimental max cast range changes. So it's for specific spells that currently cast, like we'll have your character walk over to where the cursor is and then cast as soon as they're in range versus, casting it just at their max range where you are currently. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then this is, an option to change that.
This is an option that they... So there's some characters in the game currently that use abilities that if you click outside of their cast range, they'll run up and then use their ability. And there's some characters that will use the ability at the max range currently. So this change is to make it more intuitive for those, some of those characters. For example, Misfortune E right now casts it at max range. No, fuck. In live game right now, yeah, casting Misfortune E out of maximum range will cause her to run forward, where they believe that intuitively that should be an ability that if you cast at max range, it just uses it at max range right now rather than running up. So they're going through like a bunch of characters and trying to figure out abilities that feel more intuitive one way or the other, which I think is cool. I think like it's not super clear right now. That being said, like someone was asking, why can't we just like choose?
I feel like that should be a setting. Yeah, like I feel like they're gonna go through and work on it. Like the fact that they're going in and working on it makes me wonder why they're not making that a setting as opposed to just a it feels more intuitive on this one.
They said it like is a ton of work to like rework the inner workings of how those work, but I don't know, I feel like it should be a choice,
but like they are already, right? Like they're changing whether or not it's one or the other on multiple characters as they go through this. So the technology is clearly there to have it work one way or the other, and they can change it. It's just a question then of an on-off switch, which again, they know how to do that.
Also, the other thing that they mentioned, which I do think there's some merit to, a lot of people didn't like this response, but I think there is some merit to it, was... for 99.99% of their player base, they know what is the right option. Like, they know for this character, this is the right option, and they don't want players to change it, right? Because for the 0.01% of players that actually can figure out what is better and will utilize it, they don't want, like, to clutter up the game for, like, newer players, right? You don't want a newer player to go, oh, I think I'll put this on whatever, right? And then, like, fuck up and, like, have it an ability be harder because they know that, like, through testing, this is an easier way to use the ability. Which I do think there is some merit there. I still think it should be a choice, but I do think this only applies to a small amount of players.
Yeah, I think so, too. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's one other thing. Lots of preseason updates. So this is preseason Rise of the Elements. So do we want to run through this real quick?
So I just wanted to like bring it up because like a lot of people have been freaking out like online about changes.
Yeah.
Even in our Discord, I think the main thing that people have been freaking out about was all the changes to how EXP works. People have been saying that they're killing jungle, making it so you have to only gank, because what we've heard is that they're decreasing jungle EXP and they're increasing solo lane EXP and they're decreasing duo lane EXP. And my take on it was, hey, wait till we see the numbers, because I think people are freaking out. Like, people are saying that they're killing duo lanes and they're killing jungle or whatever, right? Whereas we see the numbers now, they're increasing solo lane EXP by 2% and decreasing duo lane EXP by 2.4%, right? Those are minuscule changes. You'll still hit level 2 breakpoint at the exact same time for both lanes. Jungle EXP, they're decreasing by 4% overall, but they're giving you easier jungle paths so you can clear any three camps and hit it. So I just think that people were like overreacting a little bit for the most part.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think their plan to have like solo laners, what seems to be their plan, have solo laners be the highest level in the game is good. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like those are inherently the most dangerous lanes and the most dangerous roles to be in, and they should be rewarded.
I agree. Couple of the other changes, if we want to just mention, they're removing ZZ Rot, Wrecker, and then Raptor Cloak. I think that's fine. Those items are kind of gimmicks right now. They're reworking Kleptomancy. They're going to change the name of the rune, but they're making it so that you choose the rune, Klepto, whatever it's going to be called, right? And you get a keystone, either whether that is Lethal Tempo, Fleet Footwork, Airy Comet, Phase Rush, or Predator. Oh, sorry, Predator, Electrocute, Hail of Blades, Grass of the Undying, or Glacial Augment. And then when you use it, it goes on cooldown for 7 seconds and then changes to another one, a different keystone.
The more I think about this, the more I absolutely love it.
Yeah, honestly. I hated it at first. I still do think it is a, not lazy, it is a uninspired idea.
Yeah.
I do like the concept of it because these runes typically have long cooldowns, right? So therefore they're very powerful, right? But you do spec into, my character uses Airy really well. Even though it's on a cooldown, I used it really well. If you can find a character that uses them all pretty well, then you're getting crazy value out of it if you can use mm-hmm. them all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just thinking like rolling Press the Attack into an Electrocute on a champion that can proc it pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's nuts.
It's just cool. Like it's a good concept for the game. I just hope it isn't overpowered or completely useless, which it likely will be, I think.
It'd have to be like one of the two, right?
Yeah, hopefully not though. It'd be cool if it was balanced.
Yeah. Yep. Nice.
Yep.
We'll have to keep a lookout on that.
Yeah, the rest of the changes are pretty boring. And I would recommend looking at it if you're interested at all, but most of them are pretty like basic things, just like change small changes to how items work and
yeah.
different costs and stuff.
And then a little changes for dragons, but nothing like crazy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Let's get into... Oh, I guess this brings us to the new section. Guaranteed Kfaz.
Well, first... where the fuck are our reviews, guys? Where are our stories?
Oh, true.
Where the fuck are our stories? I expect at least 2 stories next week on my desk, Wednesday night, the 30th.
And we're not saying 2 stars. O'clock. We're saying 2 5-star reviews.
Yeah, yeah, 10
we need
stars.
10 stars. We need 10 stars. You want to divvy up that however you want.
I need at least 20 star chips to advance from Duelist Island, okay? And I'm not going to duel Bandit Keith again.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thank Guaranteed. You. Shout
nice.
Out to all the Yu-Gi-Oh fans out there.
Guaranteed Kfaz. All right. So, if you will, gentlemen, if you will pull up your tier list, we are going to do a game. Okay. We are going to make a tier list. Aiden has went ahead and separated all of the animal champions into one little list. And what we're going to do is we're going to approach this from a battle royale kind of mindset. And we're going to go through the list and see which animal champions in League would be best suited for a battle royale environment. Okay. We could base that off of their like in-game abilities or their lore or a mixture of the two. And I think we should discuss where we're going to put them. We should make the same choices.
Okay, so we're building one tier list together.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
But now everyone should be able to visualize it.
Yeah, yes. Okay, so we're doing a battle royale. I think it's important to dictate right away, does this battle royale like have certain mechanics?
Like is there gonna be it's literally just like the last person alive.
Are there care packages that drop power weapons?
There's no care packages that drop power
there's
weapons.
No care packages,
but you can navigate
no
to the center of the map for a sniper rifle or
so
a
they're just all dropped in a big dome and they're about to try and kill each other.
Yes.
Okay.
Let's assume they're all dropped on the Summoner's Rift, right? They're all dropped on the Summoner's Rift. So there's bushes and stuff, which would be beneficial to some champions.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. At some point, there will be measurements to or indicators to make sure that fighting will continue, right?
The blue zone.
It's the blue zone.
There's a blue
yeah.
zone. Okay.
The blue zone.
All right. So I think. Off
so it
bat,
will end eventually.
Yeah,
okay.
I think
that's the yeah.
I think off the bat we can probably put Nami pretty low on our tier list.
I think
okay,
the way
I would,
we go about this is we put the characters in F that have no way of surviving and no way of
yes.
killing anyone. I think that's the best.
Absolutely.
Way
to yeah.
So Nami in F tier.
Yes.
I would put Yumi in F tier.
Yes.
So the only thing is if Yumi could jump onto people, but I don't think she can. Because those are her enemies now.
Yeah.
So Yumi, F tier.
No, you would have to be... yeah.
You can't jump on...
She can't jump on the enemies.
Yeah.
So what if she made an alliance and she just kept betraying her teammate to get to the center?
Can't do that.
No, she's dead.
Yeah. I would also put Soraka there.
Yeah, I was going to say Soraka for sure.
Should we take out any other easy ones? Sejuani is listed, but it's only her boar, right?
Yeah, it's not actually. Yeah.
Oh, if it's just Bristle, that's F tier for sure.
So I think we should also put Sejuani down there.
Okay. I think there was one more that had to mount.
How do you feel like Rakan would fare on his own? I feel like he would not do very well.
Not well at all.
See, I think. Oh yeah, yeah. I don't think Rakan would do very well. Mostly because he has like no way of like endangering someone. Or,
yeah, right. He can charm them. He can heal himself. But when it comes down to it, they're just gonna bop him over the nose.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He's gonna get bopped. Mm-hmm. I think that's someone. Someone in our chat brought up an interesting point. Would Nunu and Willump be F tier?
Well, it's just Willump.
Yeah, it's just Willump. But I don't think Nunu adds a lot to the equation.
Fair.
I think that power dynamic is primarily Willump. I wouldn't rank him F. I think F is like very little way to defend himself.
Yeah, at least he can defend himself or like run away with the snowball. He's got tools to succeed. He's definitely not.
I think his ulti alone makes him not F tier.
Because right, especially like, all right, here's the thing, Nunu, he's not dumb. All right, Willump is not dumb. He talks to Nunu, and what he can do very easy, he can get to the middle with his snowball, sit in a bush, and start channeling that ultimate for like 20 minutes, and then finally when the blue zone closes in around him, just one shots all the enemies. S plus Nunu.
That's true.
Who can beat it?
I don't know. All right. Let's. I think that's enough for F tier. Yeah, let's move up to D.
So I'm assuming these are going to be characters that like can't really kill anyone, but can like maybe hide and survive a little bit. I would assume, or something like that.
Yeah, I think Alistar is a good candidate for D tier.
Yeah,
certainly better than the ones we listed F tier, but he's not gonna. He can tank a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We're gonna have an interesting.
I think we could probably put Rammus in D tier.
Yeah, I think so too. Question.
Yeah. Answer.
Are there? I guess it's Summoner's Rift. I was gonna say, are there any Skarner Spires?
Actually, wait. But I think Rammus.
Not in the
Rammus
middle.
Might be C tier. I think mobility is a huge value in a battle royale type situation where he can just leave if he's in an unfavorable matchup. And who can
That's
catch
true.
Him? Who can catch
I would be fine with I'd be fine with bumping him up one. You wanna do that?
I'm moving Rammus to C tier on my list.
Okay.
Okay.
So back to D. I think Anivia might be a
Yeah, I think a she's D a D. Tier. Big D.
Anivia, big D. Huge D.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. What's this?
I actually think that might be the end of D tier, honestly.
I think so, yeah. I'm looking at all like these, and I think they have a better chance than D.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay, C tier. I'm going to throw up Gnar, because I feel like he's good at fighting, but he's also not like super smart compared to a lot of the other champions on this list.
Dumb as shit.
He wouldn't abuse his mobility. He would just fight people until he got exhausted, and then he would die. Who else do we want to put in C tier? I'd say maybe Aurelion, because I think same thing where like he's mobile, but there's not a lot he can do if somebody catches him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, yeah. What about Malphite?
He just blends in with the wall, and nobody finds him.
I'd put Malphite C, yeah.
I think Malphite C is pretty fair. We'll post our results.
He's
just
like
to,
Pet Rock.
He's a Pet Rock.
What about Nasus as like, because he can't stack up as C?
True.
But there's like 45 other champions.
But he only has, what, like 200 stacks? 240 stacks?
Yeah, that's fair.
If he stacks everyone?
That's not happening.
I don't think so. Yeah. We'll put him firmly in the C tier.
I think so too.
How do we feel about Cassiopeia? Actually, she's a pretty strong duelist. So
she is. Yeah, she is.
She wouldn't have items, but
I feel like she'd be like B. Oh. Honestly,
Yeah,
I think B's a good spot for her.
Okay. So I feel like same with Ahri too. Like I'm, all these like mages, like squishy mages, I feel like are like B.
Yeah, definitely Azir as well.
Mm-hmm.
Ziggs.
I think Ziggs is probably C.
Yeah, I think Ziggs is C as well.
Because like he can create a zone for himself that's like safe, but he can't get to the center first, so he can't actually camp.
Nunu and Willem should be C, I think.
I think that's fair.
No, they're S plus. Unbeatable strategy.
I think there are like two champions who are 100% S plus. Okay, let's start. Let's do those. I think Kha'Zix S plus.
Yeah, Kha'Zix.
I think Rengar S plus.
Yep, I think that's fair. They're both hunters.
Those are my two very easy ones.
I would even put Kindred up there.
I think Kindred might actually, because I think that there's other people we're gonna have to put an S as this current structure is laid out. So yeah, Kindred.
Yes. Where do we? Okay, Elise. I think Elise S plus.
Really, I was gonna say A.
A, interesting. Okay.
I think S for Elise.
We can go S. We'll split the difference. That's fair.
S is split the difference. All right.
Now I got a question for you guys. How do you feel about Kled? Is it Kled and Skarl or just Skarl?
They're both animals.
Skarl's an animal, yeah.
Okay, so it's
Kled, I think, based on the Sejuani ruling of 1987, it's both of them.
All right, because I think that Kled might be up there in S tier as well. Because, like, he just gets so many resets throughout the thing. And he's, like, he can run in, he can run out. And, like, anytime after a fight, he'll just reset, remount, and get all his health back.
And it's never him. Yeah, it's never him taking the damage either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would feel I almost want to put him S plus. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I think compared to the big three, he's a little bit weaker.
Okay.
But... what do we feel about Rumble? I think this is kind of a wild card.
Does he get his
Okay, I think he does, right?
Yeah.
If Malphite is an animal, then so is the mech.
I feel like he blows his load and then he dies right away.
He's like a B. Yeah. He's a strong B.
I want to put him in C.
Yeah, I was thinking C as well. I could be convinced.
Make a case for B tier on Rumble.
There's no other fire characters. Characters are scared of fire. Everyone's
Ornn.
Scared of fire.
That's Ornn true. Has fire.
No, that's Bramble Breath.
That's Bellows Breath, as in fire.
Fair.
C. All right. Rumble, are we putting him in B or C? C? Or C? Rumble for C. All right. Now, speaking of the blacksmith,
Ornn?
I would like to make an argument for at least B for Ornn. Because he is the only champion that we know of in this scenario who can craft his own.
Yeah, I was gonna say own item. He can make items, so he's A tier for me.
And there's no cooldown on this one.
I think it's A. Yeah, that's fair.
Between every encounter, he can like get new stats. So
yeah, it's pretty okay in a 1v1.
Mm-hmm. Can we? I feel like couple, we should jump like through the 80 ones? Carries.
Yeah, I was gonna say 80 carries. I feel like are all mostly weak. In my opinion.
Yeah, I think so too. Kog'Maw, I'd probably put Kog'Maw at D, honestly.
D, I think that's fair. I feel like
I want to give him C just because he gets an elimination after he dies.
That doesn't make him better at all.
It's not about how many kills you get.
It's fair.
Twitch has stealth, though.
Yeah, I think Twitch is... It might be A tier for me.
I think he's B, honestly. I was even going to put him C.
I could get down with B. I think the fact that he's stealth and the stealth cooldown refreshes on kill.
Yes, that's a big thing.
That's the thing, right? He can throw out his poison pool, assist somebody, and then just go back invisible.
Mm-hmm. I think at least B for Twitch.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Okay.
All right, we still Xayah. Have, I'd say, Quinn and Xayah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Xayah, I think, is, like, pretty self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm, same.
So probably like A. I was thinking A.
It's A or B, I think. One of the two.
Yeah,
I'd probably put her in the same level as Twitch.
That's fair.
Okay.
She can get like more dueling potential, but she's not as slippery in a battle royale situation.
We put Twitch at A, right?
I thought we put him at B.
Okay. We put him at B. Gotcha. Okay. So we're putting her at B. Quinn, then. Mm-hmm, Let's knock out the 80 carries.
I think she's weaker. I think she's either D or C. Probably C, though.
I think C because she's highly mobile, right? She can kite around until
she does have the vision thing. She never has to face Chuck Bushes against Nunu.
Yeah,
she's the Nunu counter.
She's scouting really well. She can get to the center and find the Nunu and avoid him.
That's the 90-10 Nunu Quinn matchup.
Mm-hmm. Like, and she can, I think she duels well with squishy characters, but then like if she runs into like a Rammus, like what is she gonna do with that?
That's true.
Yeah. I think C-tier is a good spot for Quinn.
Okay. Skarner. Let's address the Scorpion.
I think that there are Spires, but there's none in the direct center.
Yeah.
I feel like he's weak regardless, honestly.
Okay. I would be fine putting him on D.
Yeah, probably D tier. Because even if he has the Spires, everyone can see them and they know, like, hey, there's that's where the Skarner is.
That's true,
is.
Yeah.
We'll just wait until the blue zone moves him out.
That's true. He's gotta win his game out of the blue zone.
What about Shyvana for D? Because she's not gonna start, or does she start in Dragon? I don't know. If she starts in Dragon, I feel like she's B. If she doesn't, she's D, because she's not gonna get Dragon.
Is this TFT Dragon or Summoner's Rift Dragon?
I think we should assume that everyone is like level 18 at least. They have all of their abilities.
Well, it doesn't matter. She needs rage though. She needs to like fight people to turn into a dragon.
Yeah, she has rage.
Okay, she's B then, I think.
Yeah, I'd probably say B.
Okay, I'm fine with that. And then the they're in no particular order, right?
No.
Like left to right? Okay. No. Yeah. I think we've got a couple S's at least that we should put up there. Teemo S.
Teemo S, yep.
Nidalee S.
Either top
I
of
think
A
she
or
excels
S, yeah.
as the hunter, and if she like is able to move around the jungle pretty quickly, getting off a few kills, she's pretty self sufficient with her heal.
That's true. Yeah, she's got high mobility. She can sneak around. I think S for her is good.
I think Warwick probably S plus.
I just think he's S plus as well. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got crazy.
He kind of fits like perfectly into this.
He knows where the fighting is happening, so when there's a close 1v1, he just gets to go clean up and pick up all the loot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where do we want to place Fizz? I feel like he could swing very high or pretty low.
I think he's above Ahri and Cassiopeia, so I'd put him A.
I think he's an A tier. Yeah.
Okay.
Good, right? Because like he's a really good duelist, and he can 100 to 0 people if he has Shark. But typically, I think he's just going to be running around, like, not dying until he gets caught.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Let's do Kennen.
I think he's pretty low, actually.
You think so?
I think he's weak. I think he's, like, C weak.
Okay. I'm fine with that. That's... I think he has trouble fighting, like, one person at a time, especially compared to the
He's the an ones AoE up at the specialist. Top.
Yeah.
Plus, he's going to draw a lot of attention to himself with that big-ass lightning storm.
That's true.
Got to remember, people are watching the map.
Are there any champions that, like, left that kind of draw our interest? Because there are a couple who I think are going to be... We've saved the good ones for last, I think.
I don't know how to feel about Swain. Because he's got some really good things going for him. But he's also, like, I don't think a great duelist.
I don't think so, but I do think he is... the easy favorite for playing intelligently.
Right, yeah, he's got the strategy down. So he's got his W to scout.
I think A tier. I think he's better than like the Ahri's, the Cassiopeia's, but a little bit worse than like Elise, Teemo.
The actual hunters.
Yeah.
How do we feel about Volibear?
S.
I want to put Volibear pretty fucking high. Yeah. I actually do. If he gets low, he just heals.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you guys no higher than A tier.
We're putting him S.
He's S. He's a fucking polar bear.
Yeah, we're
okay,
like
fine.
He's made to fight.
Volibear S tier.
Volibear S tier. Udyr, I would also put S tier.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
He's got all the tools he needs.
Let's save the last one for last. How about that? I think that's what we should do. Hecarim, I think we put a B.
Yeah, he's either high B or low A. I think B is fine.
I think low A. He's a lot of healing with his W, and that's a low cooldown. Plus, again, I think mobility is a strong like indicator for a battle royale, right? And he's got unstoppable with his ult. Like, He can get around the map. If he's got a bad fight, he can get out of there.
But, okay. You've convinced me. I'm good with A. I'm good with sure. A. Renekton. I would also put it A, I think.
I think that's fair, yeah.
Yeah, powerful duelist, tanky, has sustain, CC, yeah. Everything he needs.
Which brings us to the very last entry into the Battle Royale.
Wait, where did we settle for Nunu? Because I don't have him on mine.
Oh, we put him C.
Put Nunu C? Disagree, yeah. But okay.
What? Okay, what? Change
I already gave my case for Nunu being an S-plus character.
Do you think he runs to the middle, waits in a bush, and then...
Has been channeling Absolute Zero for 20 minutes.
Okay, what if that doesn't work?
He does.
What if Quinn sees him? And thus everyone sees him.
Then they have to eventually come to him, and all of the ranged characters are probably dead by then anyway. It's all melee. Kindred's the only one who can stop him.
That's like me saying Reconwind, because he's going to constantly be in his ultimate. He's going to have everyone charmed until the game's over.
Yeah. No, okay, whatever. I'm moving him to his spot in C. I disagree. Yeah,
get in C.
But it's three people, and I can't overrule your votes.
Yeah. Which brings us to Thomas Kench.
Of A or bottom of S?
S.
I think S as well, yeah. I think his ulti 100% makes this.
Yeah, huge regen, strong dueling power, and he just gets to show up places.
Mm-hmm. And still just eat anyone ever. Like, all the time, so.
Yeah, and you know what? You can't nerf his ability to chomp an ally if he doesn't have any allies.
True. Well, nice. All right, so I'm going to take a picture of this.
I already did, don't worry. I got it all done. I'll post it also somewhere and figure it out.
Don't think you should mention the context.
Okay.
Yeah, they have to listen to this if they want to know why.
I think maybe you put the episode title, and then that's it. Episode 401, and then that picture.
Okay, sounds good.
So that'll be fun. And that's sort of, that was the tier list for which animal champion would be best suited to win a battle royale. Episode 1.
I feel like it should be on the Dominion map, not Summoner's Rift.
Too late.
It's a circle. It's a circle.
Too late.
Cool. You want to talk about some actual content?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk about Garen and why he's so good right now.
Why is he so good?
We just did guaranteed guffaws, though.
I know. It's also very fitting, right, that he's part of our guaranteed guffaws. So Nick, you want to go through his abilities actually really quick? Because I feel like that's kind of important for him. Why?
Yeah, I was just thinking that, actually. So his passive is called Perseverance. If he has not been recently struck by damage or enemy abilities, he regenerates a percentage of his total health each second, and that increases as the game goes on up to level 11, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
His Q.
Otherwise known as you get a free Warmox at level 11.
Yeah. His Q is Decisive Strike. He gains a burst of move speed, breaking free of all slows affecting him, and his next attack strikes a vital area of his foe, dealing bonus damage and silencing them. His W is Courage. He passively increases his armor and magic resist by killing enemies. He may also activate this ability to give him a shield and tenacity for a brief moment, followed by a lesser amount of damage reduction for a longer duration. His E is Judgment. He rapidly spins his sword around his body, dealing physical damage to nearby enemies. And that is sort of what's broken currently, I think. And then his ultimate, Demacian Justice. He calls upon the might of Demacia to attempt to execute an enemy champion.
Now, you forgot about his secondary passive, which is any bush in the map, he can teleport there instantly.
There is a chance that Garen is in every and any bush. Nice. So, where are we playing Garen currently?
Top lane.
I think you also can play him mid lane, though.
I think you can play him jungle, even.
You can definitely play in bot lane with Yumi.
Yeah.
True. Play Garen everywhere, but top lane is currently, I think, the most common place you'll find a Garen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess, like, starting with, like, why he's good now, we've seen a rise in Garen in professional play because he's one of the few tanks that can actually face check stuff right now. I think Garen's good right now because the time to kill in this game is super high or super low. So... face checking stuff, getting near bushes, even being a tank, like look at pro play where you have tanks. The only way tanks are tanks is if they build Gargoyle Stone Plate, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'll see like a 8,000
and they need to proc Aftershock.
Yeah, right. Or Raft, yeah. But like you'll see an 8,000 health Cho'Gath get like killed in 3 seconds by like a Fed Kai'Sa. Like that's the current meta, right? It's time to kill super low. And I think Garen bypasses a lot of that with his kit. Courage is gross, I guess is one way to put it. It just gives you like the damage reduction is gross, the stats that it gives you is gross. It's really good. Combined with Yuumi kind of just allows him to not really care about enemies time to kill. He can kind of just chase in and do whatever he wants.
He gets a huge amount of flat damage reduction, plus he gets a improved tenacity and a slow cleanse on his Q, right? So that, like you're saying, yeah. Right, he can face check and he can cleanse some CCs, reduce others to basically nothing, right? If he's got Mercury Tread or Legend Tenacity and he uses his W, like CC is maybe a third effective on him.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Then he's just gonna get Yuumi, or like he doesn't need the Yuumi, but like that's what created it and I think brought him to attention on top of the added change to his E. But
yeah, that's at least what like started his rise to being like a good character, I believe. Why he's actually good top lane right now is because of some changes they made to his E. His E now procs Conquer, which allows you to kind of just like do these gross trades where you don't really play the game, but you win every trade you play. So it's pretty silly. So we'll start going through his kit. I run Flash TP on him every game. I don't think you should go anything else on him. I guess there's a world where you go like Ignite or Ghost, but I think Flash and TP's fine.
Yeah, I think Flash Ghost or Flash TP are probably your best options. I think if you do take the Ghost, it's like basically impossible to get away from him.
Mm-hmm. Ghost would be the only other thing I considered, I think.
Okay. For Keystone, you pick up the Conqueror, then you pick up Triumph, Tenacity, and Coup de Grace, and then your secondary tree. I usually go Resolve. I also think there's a world where you can go Sorcery. But going Resolve, I pick up Demolish and Bone Plating. If I was to go Sorcery, actually, I don't even know. Like, Sorcery is still bad, actually. I feel like, yeah.
I don't think Sorcery is worth going. I think if you were going to do anything else, it might be, like, to get Ravenous Hunter.
Yeah, that's fair.
The other thing I would say, very rarely, but you can take Alacrity if they have, like, almost no CC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just the tenacity stacking is pretty gross, though, I find.
Yeah, right. Like, if they have like, two or more hard CCs, take the tenacity. If they have, like, only one hard CC on their team and everything else is slows, probably go Alacrity at that point.
That's fair. And then for his build, which is the fun part about Garen, because you get to go first item Trinity Force. You go Trinity Force, PD, and then it starts to diversify, like, most characters build, but you build Trinity Force PD every single game. It gives you so much attack speed that your E now starts, like, proccing way more times. Therefore, you proc Conqueror faster. Therefore, you do crazy amounts of damage. Then you get to choose, like, a variety of items. Most of them are tank items, I think, if you're a good player, meaning, like, Dead Man's Plate, Steric Gauge. Actually, Steric Gauge has Lifeline, so maybe you shouldn't go Steric Gauge because you're going Phantomancer every game. But I would go either Dead Man's Plate, Spirit Visage, Randuin's, Thorn Mail, even picking up like maybe a GA like later in your build. You can go Infinity Edge if you really want to like troll around, but I feel like mainly just building tank after you get your core is like the way to go.
Yeah, so you can build a higher damage build with like an Infinity Edge, and even I think Storm Razor is pretty good on this Garen because it slows the enemy when you hit him with it, and it's going to be like in between your spins. So you're getting your spin, and then when you turn to Q them, it's going to be a bigger damage Q. It's going to slow them and like enable you to keep spinning. That being said, I do think typically after your two core items, you're going to want to go tank. Mm-hmm. And I think you had mentioned Dead Man's, I think, is probably the next step in most cases.
Yeah.
If you're against AP, maybe a Spirit Visage, which you also said, so...
Yeah, it's kind of you have choices between different types of tank items, I think. Is there any like damage items you think you would go? Or do you think it would just mainly be tank items after?
I don't think you need more damage. That's kind of the thing.
Yeah, I think maybe you could go Executioner's Calling in Last Whisper if they had like a crazy healing team, or like if you were against like a Mundo or they had a Soraka, because it's going to be pretty easy for you to apply that to all of them, and that's going to amp your damage. That being said, typically a Thornmail is going to do just fine if you really need the Grievous Wounds. So that's kind of situational.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. What else do we want to talk about Garen? Strengths and weaknesses. Strengths, we mentioned he can kind of go through everything. He's one of the only characters in the game that has such a strong, like, ability to, like, not give a fuck about what's being thrown at him, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's not many abilities that give a ton of tenacity, damage reduction, and a shield.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all in one
and
ability.
And flat resists always.
Yeah, passively. Yeah. So that kind of lends itself to, as long as I time this correctly, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obviously, then, like, he, I think the main strength for a lot of players is that he's an extremely simplistic character to play.
Absolutely.
Once you get your Trinity Force PD spike, you kind of just walk at them and spin at them and use your shield whenever you can.
Yeah.
You break slows with your Q. You just kind of, like, use abilities as they come out, and it's pretty hard to mess up.
It's hard to mess up, and he's very forgiving in that even if you, like, fuck up, it's not that bad, right? If you go in with your Q and you hit a minion and you spin on them, you still probably do okay in that trade, right? If you don't W at the perfect time, you're still okay. Like, and then if you do take a bad trade, you can just sit in a bush for 20 seconds and get, like, a quarter of your health back. He's very simple and very forgiving. That being said, if you do play him, like, perfectly, he's also incredibly oppressive.
Mm-hmm. I also think it's important to mention that I think a lot of, like, lower level players in the game don't utilize keystones, like, to their maximum potential, meaning, like, not a lot of players, when they're running press the attack, hit someone three times and then use their burst, or when they're running conquer, proc conquer, then, like, go in for, like, the trade sort of thing. But Garen being able to proc conquer on his damage ability, his main damage ability, kind of allows you to not have to worry about your keystone. It just, like, works for you whenever you want it to work.
Yeah, it synergizes really with his, like, basic playstyle anyway. He doesn't have to do anything special.
And you stack it real fast.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. Unique champion things? I feel like he's pretty basic, especially after they did completely remove the judgment, like, true damage thing, right? I believe.
It's just based on missing health now.
Believe it is only true damage now.
Yeah.
It is only true damage, but he doesn't get bonus damage against the... Or it does less damage than it did before because it is true damage now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd say the only real things to consider are make sure you're last hitting to get those free stats out of your W. Q is an auto attack reset, so if you can use it that way, do it. In trades, in terms of team fighting, it's a great tool to get you in or out. It's a cleanse for slows. So, like, just ideally using, I think, Q and W to avoid CC or block damage, I think, is where the hardest part of playing Garen perfectly is. The other thing I'd note is the way the E works now, the E used to be just a flat amount of damage for everything inside of it. Now the closest unit to Garen takes bonus damage, so if you are diving into multiple people, or if you're trading in the minion wave, you want to make sure you're staying perfectly on top of the enemy character so you're doing maximum damage to the champion and not a minion next to them.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to play against Garen, too.
Did they actually end up doing that? Or I thought they, like, didn't end up doing that. Am I wrong? Oh, they did, yeah.
No. Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, I believe so.
They kept, like, going back and forth on, like, having that. I couldn't remember if it actually went through. Yeah, it's 25% bonus. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot more damage if you stay on top of them, which is why all of that extra movement speed's really helpful. And also being able to kind of, like, micro your movement so that you stay on top of them. And again, it's in, like, if you're chasing them down and there's no minions, easy peasy. If you're doing it in a minion wave, it's a little harder, but still not terribly difficult because it's still Garen.
Yeah, he still does a lot of damage even if you are not given that extra 25%. So. Nice. Which brings us to... What do we talk about after that?
Roundtable.
Beskin?
Beskin.
I'll say Beskin.
God, it's got to be God King, right?
So hear me out. I like rugged a lot on him.
I think it is God King followed by rugged.
So I like rugged, and I also like what's the Tryndamere skin? Barbarian? It's the one where he has the basic sword. I like the skins on characters where like they have a huge fucking sword, but in the skin they just have like a pretty regular looking thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's like the most regular looking sword for Garen. Like some of them are ridiculous. His most ridiculous sword is the Steel Legion one.
Yeah, Steel Legion for sure.
Yeah, I just like having like a really regular looking sword on like a huge dude like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I think he's a great character to make skins for.
Yeah, right.
Shout out to Demacian Vice.
I think Dread Knight is really good. I think Warring Kingdoms is really good. I think pretty much all the Garen skins are really good.
I don't like Steel Legion.
I think that's, the only one I don't really enjoy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, same.
I think he's just too bulky, too big.
He looks like nice. Blitzcrank cosplaying as Garen.
All right. And hey, fun fact about Garen in Rogue Admiral. Garen, you see his eye patches on the right in the splash art. When you get in game, it's on the left.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's because it's nighttime in this picture that's being taken.
Dear Riot.
And
he switched
his eye patch over so they could fight in the daylight.
I'm upset that that probably wasn't the reason, but it probably is what they could get away with.
That's justified enough that if they said that in the lore department, you'd be like, well, we can't prove them wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Nice. All right. Hey, that takes us to Worlds. You guys want to talk about Worlds?
No, I'm good.
What happened? Worlds.
I didn't like watch very many of the games. I like watched highlights from all the games, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was all right.
I watched all the games. I am in love with Worlds right now.
Nice.
As with most years, I always love watching like all the Worlds content I can.
Yeah. Let's run through the standings real quick. In Group A, how many points do you guys have, by the way? I have 38.
I have 53.
Oh.
I think.
Oh, my Group C fucked me.
Yeah, I have 53.
I have 36.
You guys suck.
My Group C fucked me.
My Group C is perfect, and then I got, like, I was very close in a lot of other regards. I let my want for Liquid to get out to beat my better judgment knowing IG would. And same thing with like G2 Griffin, where I'm like, I want G2 to beat the group, but
yeah,
that was close
though. So yeah, Group A, G2 finished finished second. Yeah,
first G2 place finished Griffin, second place G2, third place,
yeah,
Cloud9,
Griffin finished first,
fourth, yep, place with a 0-6 scoreline, Hong Kong at 2.
Yeah, Cloud9 looked terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And they are lucky they had Hong Kong Attitude in their group, because they probably should have lost every game.
Did you see that out of NA's 5 wins, 4 of them were against 0-6 teams?
Yep. And the other one was against LMS. Or they're all against LMS, right?
No, they won what's it called, against Damwon.
Wait, Team Liquid
Damwon,
did.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Liquid got a game off Damwon.
Got one game, yep. In Group B, Fun Plus Phoenix finished first, Slice second, Gammy Sports third. I'm sorry, Gammy Sports fourth, and J Team finished third.
Mm-hmm.
In
my
Group
worst
C,
group by far.
Group C was my worst group by far. SKT finished first, Fnatic second. What the fuck happened to week 2 Fnatic? That was wild.
Mm-hmm.
RNG finished third and Clutch Gaming fourth, although I feel like Clutch Gaming definitely played the best out of any NA team.
Yeah,
they just got the lower
06
the
team,
worst.
They played very well.
They did.
Right, like the other 06 teams at the tournament, Hong Kong Attitude and AHQ, like you do not put Clutch Gaming in that tier,
yeah,
right? If they were in Group B, they would have made it out, probably. If they were in Group D, I think they probably would have gone kind of like maybe 3-3 like Liquid did, but definitely like not deserving of the 06. It's not very representative of how they actually played. I think they did their best and like deserve some respect for that.
Yeah, I think so too. And then Group D, the only group I got perfectly right. Damwon finished first, Invictus second, Team Liquid third, HQ fourth.
We kind of predicted
that. Who
could
have seen that one coming?
Remember when I said that Team Liquid will come down to a tiebreaker where they'll lose?
Yeah.
Then it happened. Exactly like I thought. I'm really proud of myself. I got Group A, C, and D all perfect.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
And then I...
And you said you had like you're only one points. Away from having Group B, right?
No, because I like if I went with my gut, I would have put Splice second. But remember, I tried to like meme on them by putting Gam second. And
gotcha.
Then, yeah, so either way, I wouldn't have got it all perfect. I would have just had like third and fourth mixed up. But I'm not too shabby. That's not too shabby, I don't think.
Yeah, that's not bad. Which brings us to the knockout stage.
Yeah, let's okay, have your pick-ems up there? I linked the pick-ems.
Absolutely.
Thing. Hell yeah.
You did.
I've got my Thank pick-ems you. Out, yeah.
So, first match, Griffin versus Invictus. I could see this game, it's going to be best of five, right?
Yep, everything's best of five.
Yes. So I could see this one going 3-1, but I do think Griffin's going to take it. They looked very clean towards the end.
I have Griffin taking it as well.
I think for me, this is one of the harder choices to make. Just because I think it's going to be 3-1 regardless, and it's just going to be like one team shows up and one team doesn't. I think, right, like, peak form Invictus can probably beat Griffin, but I think that, like, 7 out of 10 times if this series was played, Griffin would probably come out on top.
So which one are you picking?
I'm going to go with the Korean Overlords, Griffin.
All right.
I'm going to go with my tried and shrewd, put Korea at the top of everything at Worlds every time.
Fair enough. Next matchup, FunPlus Phoenix versus Fnatic. I am going to go Fnatic. I think it's going to be 3-2, but I think Fnatic had a harder time. They 100% had a harder competition. And FunPlus probably should have 6-0'd that group.
Yeah, like...
Or 7-0'd.
So I think Fnatic's going to win as well. I do think people are, like, shitting on FunPlus a little bit too much, though. I feel like they are a team that can win against Fnatic here. People are acting like it's a free game or free series.
For Fnatic. Absolutely not. I think this is going to come down to game five, like, honestly.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be harder than people are expecting, but I think Fnatic will take it.
I think, again, this is another one that, like, depends on the FunPlus that shows up, because, like, them in, like, regular season and the playoffs of the LPL, I think were a lot better than what we saw in group stages.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, you kind of have to base it off the group stages. So I'm going to go with Fnatic. Also, for the meme of I don't want a Chinese team in semifinals, I want it to be Korea and Fnatic.
Okay. Interesting. Do we want to go ahead and finish off this side of the bracket?
Sure.
Griffin, we both put Griffin Fnatic, right?
Yeah.
Who are we picking? I'm picking Griffin.
I'm putting Griffin.
I think...
Yeah, Griffin over like Fnatic. Looks like the
best team. All right. You're putting Fnatic, you said?
No, Griffin over Fnatic, so... Griffin's
I see. Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Bottom side of the bracket.
SKT versus Splice.
Does anyone have any questions about this one?
And Damwon versus G2.
So my favorite thing, so there was like a Reddit poll for like, who do you think's going to win? Like, which I thought was actually kind of interesting. So it was like thousands of responses, right? And 50 people chose Splice, right? To like make it. It was like 50 people chose Splice to win Worlds, right? Which obviously they're all meme answers, right? Because like whatever. My favorite thing is out of like the thousands of things, 4 people said Splice was going to make it to finals and lose.
That's pretty funny. They have enough faith until they come across like the finals and then that's it.
Can we have a dream? Can there be a world where Splice beats SKT, G2 beats Damwon, and the finals are 2 EU teams?
The finals should 100% be G2 Fnatic. That would be so entertaining.
Oh my god. What a dream that would be to watch.
Yeah.
But SKT is going to 3-0 them, obviously. All 3 of us think that.
Yeah, we're putting SKT through.
SKT Worlds, they don't lose.
And then we have Damwon versus G2, which I think will be the closest matchup this
I think
weekend.
It's the closest.
Yep, I think this is the most competitive series, for sure.
And
the
I
hardest
think Damwon's taking it. I think Damwon's take it 3-2.
Huh.
I think
G2 got a little bit exposed towards the end of that. Towards the end of the week.
Yeah, I'm putting
toward the end of group.
I'm putting Damwon through as well. So we saw that G2 lost two games to Griffin.
Yeah, it was Griffin.
So the Korean teams, or at least Griffin, knows how to play against G2 in best of ones, which is like their thing. And I think Korean teams are more known for their long series and being able to take those and adapt. I think that, like, the fact that G2 didn't 6-0 their group makes me think that they're not going to get past Damwon, right? Like, there was a lot of hype for G2 coming into it, and it seems like the top-tier players of the other region, like, have figured it out enough that, like, the G2 magic's not going to work on them, or at least not in a best of five.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So, this, I have gone back and forth a lot on this. That being said, so I keep going back and forth. I'm going to put G2 through. I think it could go either way, though. The only thing that I'm worried about is that when they did lose to Griffin in those two matches back-to-back, Griffin played Jace and, fuck, I can't remember what the other pick was, Jace Akali, I think, and beat them. And then G2 played Jace Akali and lost, which isn't a good look, you know what I mean? That scares me. But I could go either way, but I'm going to currently put G2 through.
Okay, interesting. So SKT or Damwon / G2? Mm-hmm. Which one are we putting through?
I'm putting SKT through.
I'm also putting SKT through.
So here's like where my thing differentiates. So if I was going to put Damwon through, I put SKT through 100%. I put G2
SKT
through.
SKT beats Damwon.
I'm putting G2 through SKT though.
Oh, interesting. I do think SKT G2 would be the most entertaining like series.
I feel like SKT over Damwon's more clear cut though. Like then.
I think so too. Yeah.
I think G2 can make it through SKT if they beat Damwon.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's right. If SKT plays Damwon, like, those are, I think, very similar lineups going against each other. Whereas, you know, G2 is the kind of typically wonky setup where...
Yeah.
I kind of agree with you, right? If G2 can figure out how to beat Damwon, I think they can probably use those same tools to get around SKT or at least get close. So yeah, if G2 gets out, I think they're gonna put up a better fight against SKT than Damwon would, but
I just don't think they're getting out.
Yeah, and SKT's in the world, so
interesting. Yeah, I guess that brings us to the next. I'm sorry. So you're putting G2 through to the finals, Aiden, right?
Yes, I am.
Which brings it to Griffin G2 for you. Do you want to go ahead and?
Wait, but Aiden, I thought you wanted G2 to burn in hell and go 0-6 in groups.
That's what some people would think. But no, I have Griffin winning.
You.
I have Griffin winning Worlds though, over G2.
I also have Griffin winning Worlds over SKT.
That's more crazy to me. If I was gonna put SKT, if I have Damwon beating G2, I have SKT beating Damwon, and then I have SKT beating Griffin.
I was very impressed by how Griffin looked towards the end of their group stage. Mm-hmm. I don't think there were a lot of mistakes that I saw in the little bit that I watched. And I do think they had a pretty challenging matchup in G2 that they handled pretty soundly the second and third time around.
Yeah. I think they're fantastic teams, but I don't know. I lean on SKT when it comes to Worlds predictions, and I don't know. I feel like they always kind of pull it out of nowhere. Like, there was, I'm trying to remember who they were playing, where, like, they were behind and they just, like, kept winning team fights anyway.
Like, so my thing is, though, that Griffin is currently 0-3 against SKT in series.
Mm-hmm.
Getting 2-1, getting 3-0'd, and getting 3-1'd.
However, those were a couple months ago.
I mean,
like at the latest?
Two of them are, within the last year, and then the last one's, like, from 2 years ago, but...
Yeah.
But still, they've had problems. Like, they just shut down versus SKT.
I'm just riding the hot hand. I think Griffin played well enough to win Worlds.
Do you agree with the... There was, like, a tweet, I think, where someone was like, SKT isn't the only team worthy to lift the Summoner's Cup.
Yes.
Also, I think I don't know if it was a meme or not.
If you guys can click on that so you, like, join our League Cast Pick'ems bracket. All of our friends in the League Cast community can see our results. I'm currently tied for first place with Duke Azeroth. Who has G2 winning Worlds. Okay. Over Fnatic.
Interesting.
What are his group stages? I'm going to creep on him really quick. Oh, he did the same thing as me. He perfected A, C, and D, and then fucked up B the exact same way. That's funny.
Interesting.
Wow. Sitting down in the seventh tier.
Do you, can we just take a quick stroll down to 15 real quick?
15.
And just have a bit of a laugh?
I feel like he did that intentionally, right?
He probably didn't fill one out.
Yeah, he didn't fill out group stage, but.
Oh, okay.
He has G2 winning Worlds, though, so.
Hey, well done, Drew. We're making fun of you. For having 0 points because you didn't pull it out. But that's okay. So that's our pick'ems for Worlds. I'm excited. Happens this weekend. And then November 2nd and 3rd. And then November 2nd and 3rd for, was that semifinals?
Yes.
I always get quarters.
Second and third is
up.
Semifinals. And then on the 10th is the finals.
Yeah.
Also,
so far apart.
More importantly, on the 26th, Nick, Senna ability reveal.
Ooh. That is exciting.
I'm actually super excited.
I'm excited. I did read a leak on Reddit.
Oh, no.
Which may not be right. But it did involve her shield thing reflecting projectiles back at their original sort of like a Braum shield.
Yeah.
And I could get with that very hard.
Yeah.
That would be sick. So we'll have to see.
There's been a lot of fake leaks recently, though.
Yeah, there has been.
Like almost stuff where it's like either someone knew about this way early down the pipeline, it was changed, or they just assumed and then got it wrong but slightly right. It's one of those two, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So who knows? We'll see.
Yeah. Let's jump into the round table.
Yeah, last week's question was I guess 2 weeks ago, what league champion would you want to be protagonist in an anime? Trace said the Donger anime about Heimer and his exploits making him crazy inventions, causing chaos with the rest of the Yordles. Jason said this one takes place in the younger years of Ash, where she must juggle the lessons of learning to be queen of the snowmen, battling enemies of Freljord, and trying to maintain her composure whenever she encounters her crushed Tryndamere, and then some fan fiction involving Vel'Koz, Alawi, and Zementai.
Huh.
Ash said, I could see the Lucian having a good vengeance anime. That'd be super cool. Deke said, Poppy, she already has an epic story just waiting, an adventure just searching for her hero and discovering the power within herself. It's a perfect setup, plus she's just fun. I love me some Poppy.
I'm imagining Poppy like part 4 of JoJo. Just like a bunch of just random adventures and like fights with weird characters, and she's just like always there.
Yeah. Pard said, I think Shen is pretty obvious answer. Season 1 would be him and Zed growing up together, maybe throw in a Kali love interest. Season 2 is Shen working with Zed and his dad to hunt down Jin. Maybe final episode is Shen coming home to find his dad dead. Spoiler. Season 3 would be Shen working towards finding Zed and his shadow guys. Can have an episode of Camille and Ionian cast. I think they're all decent characters that we could interact with people like Kane, Irelia, Karma, Yi, Wukong. I'd love to watch it. Yeah, I feel like Shen Zed is pretty cool. Shen's just such a boring character himself, though, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's why I think like the focus should be on Zed.
Yeah,
because Shen is such a, and maybe it's supposed, like, he's supposed to be this way as like the head of balance, right? Like not balancing league, but like balancing oneself.
Yeah.
But Zed is so much more interesting as a character.
Yeah. Couldn't be like focused on Shen, I don't think.
And I feel like the way you'd have to do it, though, is like, I mean, I guess you could just make Zed a straight up villain, but I feel like it'd be more fun and probably a more compelling show if it was like Shen was the one who's like doing everything by the book, by the law, and Zed was like taking these taking these like more, I guess, like hard choices of like, hey, sometimes you have to do like a bad thing to get a good result. Mm-hmm. I feel like, right, like you'd have to rewrite the story a little bit, but like I think the idea of, you know, Shen being the, you know, wrote by the book and like enforcing the law or the rules even when it comes to the detriment of like good, I think that would be like a pretty fun show to watch.
Yeah, for sure.
It'd just be cool if like Zed had to kill his like family and clan so that there wasn't like an uprising with it.
Yeah, and then you find out that like an ancient shadow master had just been wearing an orange mask and acting like a kid the whole time.
What about Zed's brother though? Like, you'd have to develop that for sure.
Yeah, and he'd need to have a rival who's wearing an orange jumpsuit.
Yeah, his rival's Shen.
No, I don't think so. I don't think Shen can be Naruto in this story.
What the Hay said, Kha'Zix goes around and murders everyone and everything and slowly evolves. Imagine a Kha'Zix shonen, dude.
That'd be pretty sweet.
It would just everyone be, it would kills, just be, he gets their power.
Dude, it would just be Dark Kirby.
Yeah.
True. Oh my god.
And last but not least, TMG Trapper said, Star Guardian 10 season anime battling over all evildoers in Runeterra. I feel like that's like their easiest property to turn into like anime type thing, but
that's what I think so too. But I think it's kind of boring.
Yeah. They have cool stuff.
Do a KDA idol show.
True.
Or like an Academy skin line, like slice of life.
This week's roundtable question though is, what are you most excited for from Riot's 10th anniversary announcements? I think we talked about it a little bit. What do you guys have, anything you want to mention?
I mean, we could just run through them real quick again.
Yeah.
I think top of all of our lists, honestly, is the card game.
Good job speaking for me, man. That's great. I kind of
into that. No, I was saying that so we could have answers that weren't just like, oh, I'm the card game.
Oh.
Kind of just get that baseline. That we're all very excited for the card game. Something we're all into. I think Senna is the, like, it's so sick. The cinematic was so cool. Her character design seems so cool. Very excited.
I'm pretty hyped for the animated series. Just because I think it's the right, like, the first step in what could be a lot more. And I really, really want that. Like, I think it's going to be a cool story in its own regard, and I think it's going to be really good. But I also think that it's got the potential, if it does well and people like it and are willing to, like, throw money at it, where we're going to get more and more of that. And I would absolutely love that.
I really hope that their goal is to make, like, shorter series about specific characters and then move on to other ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
yeah.
One like, season have, focusing like,
one
on...
Season, yeah.
Yeah, one season focusing on, like, Jinx, Vi, Caitlyn, that dynamic. Then you move on to other characters. Because I really don't want a 16-season, like, Zaun anime, you know?
Yeah, and
that's
that's
not it.
I think that if they went almost, like, the Marvel route of, like, they're going to have small bits of, like, individual stories and things that matter, and then, like, things will still build and be ongoing, right? And then, right, like, they did a Demacia arc and like a Noxus arc, and then like eventually at some point they had like a big, you know, hey, these things are all clashing now. Like, I think that there's a lot of room there to do some really cool stuff.
Hell yeah. I think last week I said the fighting game is like my number one thing, but that's like pretty far away. So it's probably actually like the preseason stuff, like the next season 10 League of Legends Ooh. Stuff. I feel like they're making some cool changes to actually make the game fun again.
Yeah, I think so too. They're kind of taking that like super wild direction mm-hmm. that we were hoping for. They didn't add ice to top lane, which is kind of lame, but
yeah.
But yeah, I like that they're mixing things up, and hopefully they won't disconnect the servers for a week. That would be pretty sweet.
Very cool.
They didn't do that.
Yeah, so you can hit
hopefully
us up
when
on
ranked
our,
resets.
You can hit us up on our Facebook page at LeagueCast. Send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. Thank you.
Cheese pick.
All right, so this week's cheese pick is called "It's Raining Cats and Nocturnes."
Can you imagine why?
Yeah, I wonder why. So it's a nocturne funnel with Yumi, and basically he's farming the jungle and mid and having Yumi like sustain him, hold the lane, and then eventually just be his dive buddy. I think that with a Yumi on your back, you can afford to go a little bit of a tankier nocturne build so you can stay alive in there. And just like nobody's gonna survive a nocturne and a Yumi that dives in on you. Plus you're gonna get a lot of gold.
The other way around, you'd go more damage so Yumi can keep you alive and you can just clean things up faster.
I mean, you're still gonna go a lot of damage, but I don't think you go like full lethality. I think you go more of like a Black Cleaver Strix.
A Hex Shrinker sort of.
Yeah, like
okay. Like that sort of stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where you're gotcha. Still doing a lot of damage, and since you're going to be accelerated on gold, ideally, because you're getting a lot of farm and a lot of kills, you're doing a lot of damage regardless.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you're just basically surviving long enough for her heal to come back off cooldown. Gotcha. Plus, Yumi's doing a lot of damage with her Q and her ult. So yeah, that's the pitch this time around. Plus, I think Nocturne clears real fast. And his wave clear in lane also is good, where he can just swing mid, Q through the wave, get his auto with a Tiamat, and the wave's gone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds pretty good as long as you're able to pull off the funnel.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But,
cool. I'm also excited for the last one, because I like the name. So, that's a little teaser.
Yeah.
So first email, I'm going to skip around because we had Josh's from last week.
Ooh.
So I'm going to go ahead and read that one real quick. So Josh from last week said, "Hi guys. So I've listened to the show for approximately a year. Several times I have thought to email the podcast, but decided to not, hoping that one of the episodes would cover my questions. However, while many topics have hit close to my inquiries, none have quite hit the nail on the head. I make a long road trip once a month, and I typically catch up on the episodes I've missed during that. So thank you for occupying much of my 22-hour drives. Holy shit. Looking forward to hearing the answers to some of these situations, as they are, in my opinion, negatively impacting my climb and are downright infuriating. Without further ado, the questions. First question. What do you think about Riot's matchmaking algorithm? Specifically, how it is not based on the elo of a summoner, yet the elusive MMR that isn't publicly available. I know there are a few websites that you can visit to check, but none of them are 100% accurate, and unfortunately the best way to determine it is actually joining a game. Specifically, I am bronze or silver 3, but due to losses out of my control, I am being matched with bronze and iron. How are you expected to climb when the idea is, if they lose this game, we're going to match them with worse players? Number 2, in relation to the previous question, how do you deal with potatoes on your team? I'm aware that you can win 4v5 and even 3v5, depending on completing the win conditions for your team. However, even if I demonstrate that I am carry potential, high farm, high kills / participation, low deaths and overall map and objective control, my teammates don't listen to my pings and will often int their way to a loss. Understandably, some matches will be losses due to things out of my control, but how do you deal with your team constantly and consistently making the wrong choices, regardless of being told otherwise?" I'm sorry. I don't know what happens when we get to mail fight and I read a bunch where I just yawn. I'm not tired, but I'm here.
Stop lying.
That was me, not the email. Third question. What position do you feel has the best overall carry potential? I've spent a few months playing every position to understand the strengths and weaknesses and have decided that I can most effectively influence the map by playing jungle. I've played support to help my AD carry get fed and outscale the enemy team, but often my AD carry lacks basic knowledge like power spikes, wave control, and sometimes even build knowledge that makes them useless in mid to late game. When I play AD carry, my support often doesn't know that they are the carry during the early game and will just be a leech in lane, missing or sometimes not even using abilities, mindlessly pushing the wave and positioning in ways that leave me vulnerable to early ganks and counterplays. I do well on top, but I have a hard time distributing my lead across the map. By doing well top, I often draw multiple people to my lane, creating pressure and openings across the map. But lacking map awareness, my teammates miss opportunities to punish the roams of the enemy team. I'm not that great of a mid laner, and hence try to avoid that position as much as possible. However, I play safe, react to roams by pushing and freezing during the absence and or counter ganking to punish the enemy team as much as possible. I'm getting the feeling that this email is reaching an excessive length and will send another email next week, furthering my questions and potentially in response to some of the answers. Thank you for your help. Love the show. Keep up the good work, Josh. So, first question. What do we think of Riot's matchmaking algorithm? Because I think it's completely fine. To me, it doesn't matter if they base it off of MMR or ELO. Or, I guess, MMR or rank.
Yeah.
Because they functionally represent the same thing. With, like, pretty big exceptions being when you are supposed to be dropping tiers. But at that point, it doesn't really matter, I think.
Yeah, I think it's in a pretty good state and probably the best state it can be in for how finicky of a problem that is. Like, as easy as it is to say, like, it should just be current rank, I don't think that that's necessarily right. And while there is some issue with MMR, particularly the fact that, like, you can't see it directly, I think that that's the biggest issue I have with it, honestly, is that I just can't, like, go into the client and see what my actual MMR is. That just makes it seem kind of confusing. That being said, I think it's fine.
And yeah, I think it's fine, too.
Yeah.
Number two, how do you deal with potatoes on your team?
All right, so it's light gonna be sprinkling of olive oil, some garlic, salt, put in the oven.
It's tough. Occasionally, you're just going to lose games, like you mentioned. And I think the amount of games that you just lose because of teammates increases as you get lower ranked. So because you're Silver 3, you're probably going to have a lot more losses that are out of your control due to your teammates than you would in, say, Gold or Plat or Diamond, except for Diamond 5 at that point.
True.
But I mean, if that's not working for you, then I think you have to try something different. Maybe if you can't play top lane and your team can't react to that, maybe play top lane and just force your team to group onto something. You know, like, oh, we're all pushing mid lane, even though it's probably the best play for me to stay top lane so I can get a 2v3, so I can get a 1v2 so they can get a 3v4 and have the advantage. Maybe you just group mid. You know, and use your lane direct or use your advantage directly in a team fight, something like that. It's kind of tough. I do think jungle is the best way to. Oh, I'm sorry. That's your next question. Do you have any advice on that?
I think honestly, like the unfortunate answer is play more games.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it comes to having real, real bad teammates, like. There's a lot you can do to try and shore up your team's weaknesses or win in other portions of the map and just hope they don't entirely lose the game. When it comes down to it, right, your teammate's skill is going to be variable and it's not something you can control. And you can just hope that on the game where you have the bad player, you might be able to do enough to win it. And on the game that they have the bad player, you can do enough to capitalize on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that over enough games, that'll still work out. But it is frustrating and it is tough.
Yeah, it is. And then best carry potential, it's got to be the jungle, I think. I think you have the most impact on every single lane. Not to mention you can solo carry a game if you can get to that point.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it varies meta to meta, like season to season. But typically, I think jungle's always in the top two, is a good way to put it. There are times when maybe AD carry or mid or top lane is one, but jungle is never outside of the top two.
Yeah, I think so as well.
For solo queue carrying.
So hopefully that helps, Josh. And yeah, hopefully we answered all of your questions. And if you have any further questions, yeah, feel free to shoot us another email. Thanks for reaching out.
After waiting 22 hours between submissions, though.
That wouldn't be very long.
No. Next.
So let's scroll back to the top now.
Yeah, next email is from Imafish. Fuck Yumi. Don't you love how they removed Spear of Shojin, but added as a Cloud Drake soul buff? But even more OP? Fuck Spear of Shojin. Also, what's the best meme item in the game? I'm tied between Ohm Wrecker, because nobody builds it, and Twin Shadows, since you can find it in the shop by typing in spooky. Therefore, Twin Shadows is viable on every champion, except Yumi, because Yumi isn't a champ. Fuck Yumi again. Also, that moment when you were trying to steal Nunu ult, but steal Zoe ulti? Fuck Zoe. Sincerely, you're Mimi Beanie Fish.
Fishy. Come on, dude.
Fishy.
Hey, so they already changed Cloud Drake soul buff. So it doesn't do that anymore. It doesn't have the Spear of Shojin effect. It now reduces your ultimate cooldown by 10% for every stack, I believe.
That's just regular Drake.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Whenever you use an ability and you hit someone, I think you get a burst of move speed, is I think what the Dragon Soul is.
I think
is.
So as well, yeah.
Yeah. So, cool.
And what about
so,
meme items?
Hey, fuck Spear of Shojin, I guess. But I want Renekton to be viable.
Hey, fuck with his animation cancels again.
Yeah, so a new combo comes out even better.
Yeah. Okay, meme items. So we got Ohm Wrecker and Twin Shadows out there. Any additions to your meme items you like? I feel like Predator.
I think Raptor Cloak.
Yeah, well, that's gone too.
Yeah.
But true. I think for me, Predator, it feels like a meme item, even though it's not. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, every minute or so, you can run real fast and do a little more damage.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's probably one of those that you listed.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Ohm Wrecker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Fish. Next email. Oh, I fucked this one up all the time. Is from Uoit. From someone who has seen / read too many sports anime, Hajime no Ippo is probably the best one I've read. I enjoy the anime as well, but in that medium, it's probably more of a preference than actually objectively best. It had some good moments in music, though, and is worth a watch 100%. I was so hyped after watching and reading Ippo that I actually started boxing and kept with it for over a year. And got interested in watching real martial arts matches and so on. The first arc in Ippo, I stapled as the best thing I had ever read when I was done. And then, how do you pronounce this? S-F-T-L-E, swiftly? That's what I'm going to do. Wait.
It's a boxing anime.
Do we know it? Yeah, do we know what it is?
I mean, it's...
I guess it's boxing
like,
based
yeah,
on
it. Sounds like a boxing anime.
Have you guys seen it? Like,
no.
I've heard of
it. Read it?
I haven't watched it.
I wonder what sport it is.
I didn't say I wonder what sport it is.
No,
I said, do we have any idea what this is?
I've heard good things about it.
Fuck you, Aiden.
That's about all I can say. Is
go
like
watch your fucking stupid ass slice of life animes.
Like Naruto?
Go watch your
yeah.
Zed versus
like Naruto. No. Are we? What's our opinion on sports anime?
Bad.
Okay, bad it is.
I think that in general,
speaking for everyone,
they follow a pretty straightforward formula typically, and it feels good while you're watching it, and then when you finish, you realize there was nothing there the whole time.
I mean,
like masturbating.
We talked about it last week. It's a mix of shonen and slice of life. Like that's it's just like sports are the way that they feed it to you. Like I said, like toast is the way that I like get peanut butter into me.
Yeah.
And like
okay.
Sports is the way that they're getting shonen and slice of life into you. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know.
Nice.
I don't like it, but hey, you do you.
And thank you, White. I know I messed up your name, but I know you.
Next email is from Link.
Oh, wait. Don't. Fuck. Okay,
sorry.
Well.
I'll stop.
Did you read the bottom of the email?
Oh, I did. So I guess it's up
okay.
to Aiden.
This is up to Aiden.
Hey, guys. Love the show. I have a quick, fun thing that happened to me. On opinion-based question and a trivia question for the group. So yesterday while trying to get out of D3, I played roughly 10 games and saw something I realized I'd never seen before. Both teams had the same 5 bands, which I've never seen by itself, and they were also in the same order. Have you ever seen this? I don't think so. It's possible it's happened, but... if you had to pick the... Okay, so this is the next one. If you had to pick the scariest champion to go against in general, not due to overbuffing or temporarily busted mechanics, who would it be and why? So I'm assuming that's more of like a lore-based question.
I think you just mean like, wait, what? Not due to overbuffing.
If you had to pick the scariest champion to go against in general.
I'm so confused by that.
So it's either like what's like just an unpleasant matchup to play, or like if you were 1v1ing a champion in real life, would be scariest.
I think he means like just to play against, but I think he means like exclude like shit like when they made Kassadin in 100% ban rate, or when they made Sin Zhao.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And then without cheating, which letter of the alphabet has the most characters? Show name starts with that same letter.
That's a sentence. Oh,
cheating. Okay, which letter of the alphabet has the most characters with the same letter?
No. Which characters have the most? Wait. Let me make sure I'm understanding the question.
He made the sentence wrong, but
I'm sorry. I don't think it's his first language.
No, yeah, I'm just saying that Colton's not reading it wrong.
Sorry, I thought I had... Okay. Which champion's names, like, which letters has the... Which letters of the alphabet have the most champions that start with that letter as part of as their name?
So okay. If you type in a letter like that, the most characters show up.
So if you start,
Aatrox, Ari, Alistar, I'll start with A. Which letter has the most characters that start with that? Okay.
Yes, that's it. And the only one who can guess is Aided because we all read.
Yes.
This.
It's either A or S.
It is S.
It's not A.
Is one of them. There's two answers.
I feel like A has like 11 or something.
A has 8. I'm sorry, A has 10. A, 10? S has, according to, let me make sure real quick. Yes, S has 13. And this other letter also has 13.
I'm not going to be able to guess the other letter for sure.
I think we just go to it now, yeah.
It is K.
K.
There are 13.
Can we name all the K characters?
I am looking, so you guys can do it if you want. All
right, Aiden, so we got Kog'Maw, Kalista,
Kai'Sa, there's 80 carries.
Kai'Sa, Kennen,
Karthus, Kassadin, Kale, yeah, 6, right? That's 6?
Karma.
Mm-hmm. Katarina, Kled. Kane, Kled,
Katarina.
I think you only have, wait.
Kled, Katarina, Kane is what we just did.
I think have you said Kha'Zix?
No,
you're
I didn't.
At 12. There's one more.
I don't know what the last one is. Yes.
Kindred.
Oh. Kindred.
Pog.
Yeah,
you fucking did
say.
It. You did it, Aiden. Yeah. S+ tier.
That's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I think we did that in a really good time.
I think so, too. Do you guys want to give S a chance, or...?
No.
Might as well, right?
That's such bad content. It's fucking trash content.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's not Jeopardy-worthy.
Yeah. But the question was good.
Yeah.
What we Frankensteined it into, good once, maybe.
No. Zero we'll times.
Yeah, thanks, Link. Oh, let's answer this question. I think Riven. I think Riven's the scariest champion to go against because she's not easy to pick up. So I automatically assume that any Riven I'm playing against is an expert, and that's terrifying.
I think it's Irelia, like for the exact same reason, kind of.
Okay. This is really tough for me.
I'm not scared of anything because I'm so good at the game.
No, I just don't know which. I'd say probably Irelia Soul. For again, like the same reason. Fair. Like, if somebody's playing Aurelion Soul, I expect them to be like Huni, or sorry, Huhi.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you again for the email, Link. Sorry we butchered your last one by looking at the answer, but... Alright, so do we want to move on to the last email? Not the last.
Oh, I'm sorry. Next email's from Drew. I thought I read that one. Next email's from Drew. He said, hey, Colton, worthless protagonist, and Nick, the king, fuck you, me, Cooper. It's your favoritist... Wait. Favoritist scheduling server, Mountain Drew. Hey, guys, sorry I've been away for so long. I had a bomb of a vacation and was unable to participate in episode 400. I thought I'd take the time to say happy 401, guys. You guys did it amazing. If you guys don't mind, I'd like to send in my random questions now that I should have sent in last week. Also, stop fuck yawning. You, me. I can't. I don't know what happens as soon as I start reading
every
questions.
Email?
It's like, question start, yawning starts.
You just hate our listeners.
That's not true.
You make them... Okay. Everything they write in is so boring that you just, like, yawn all the time.
Aiden is yawning.
I'm sure there are worse listeners. I'm sure there's better ones, too. No, I'm just
question
kidding. Question one. I swear to all this holy, every time you guys say true, I think you guys are saying Drew. Does this make me egotistical? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And now we will enunciate true.
Drew.
Not true.
No, Colton, no. Question two. I have a month till my 21st birthday. I have two groups. Oh, this is a fun question. I have two groups that want to do the whole let's get you, go out and get you a real man's drink thing. The problem is that they want to do it all day, and I couldn't do both groups. I have to pick one because they as groups do not get along. One side is the white trashy beer drinking truck driving rootin' tootin's American types. The other side is the gaming whiskey / mead / weeb types. What should I do? Do you have any suggestions for this?
I mean, I'd say like whichever ones you're closer with and typically get along with more is like the right answer. I think personally, I get along more with the gaming weeb types, and I think that that's who I'd rather like hang out at a bar with. But that's very
alternatively
personal.
Alternatively, it's your birthday, and surely they can be civil with one another and maybe like just separate themselves, but still have like access to you part of the day.
Should go to a bar with like volleyball and make them play against each other, and loser has to buy the other team drinks. Perfect. And you just
well,
get free
one of those teams.
Matter.
I think is more. Well, whatever. I don't know. Ask them to get along, or hard schedule. Like, okay, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. is going to be group A. 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. is group B, and then whatever happens after that happens. Like, I don't know. It's your birthday. You make the rules, dude.
What you should do is you should find two bars that are right next to each other and set your groups of friends up in either one. Ooh. And then just run back and forth.
Better suggestion. Better. This is a better answer than the one that Colton gave, the shit one that he just gave. Wasted our time. Invite them both to prom, right?
Yeah. And have two outfits.
Have two outfits, two dates. Keep them apart from one another. Don't let them see each other. And then as you're walking to the other one, change. And you're like, yeah, I'm having a good time. I'm just going to go to the bathroom real quick. Be right back. And then change and then go see hang out the other one. Right?
Why do you need two outfits?
You have to come up with it. What?
Why do you need two outfits?
Because they're not wearing the same dress. You're not going
to
match them both.
Literally get them both to fucking pick a dress that matches with your...
But then they see each other and they say, oh, I understand completely. I dropped my water bottle. I understand completely.
It just seems easier. It seems like less work for you. You're welcome.
I think
Drew.
You don't understand the context of this classic
we'll talk to you
TV
next week,
trope.
Drew
can't even talk to his friend groups and tell them to get along for one another. How do you think he's going to pull off this like by himself?
True. How's he going to talk to a girl?
Drew.
That's fucked up. I'm sure he has girlfriends.
with a strong space in between his words.
No, we love you, Drew. Question three on the topic of Shaco from I think 2 weeks ago. What if his ult was just Five Nights at Freddy's type jump scare with Shaco's face? What else does it do? Quick,
just scares no damage.
Cool.
What if it was like IRL like Graves W, or like your screen just gets taken up by a Shaco face and you can't see anything?
It'd be
So dumb. Question four. Fuck you, me. Not a question. Next question. Sorry, I tried to keep it short. Feel free to cut it down. Yours truly, and fuck you, me, Mountain Drew. Thank you for the email, Drew. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And happy birthday.
Happy birthday, bud. Soon. Oh, we still got like 3 episodes to do.
True. Next email is from Brooks. Dear LeagueCast, obligatory longtime listener, first-time responder. I've been listening to your podcast for about 2 years now, but have never actually played League. So my question is, what do y'all think the true minimum PC specs are to play League of Legends at playable frame rates? Also, shower socks are disgusting, end of story. Also, I'm currently living around Coit and Campbell and would love to grab a drink anytime if you're free. That's a message to me, because I know what streets this is on.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't know what that means. I tried to Google it. Nothing came up.
Yeah, I live very nearby to Coit Road. Okay. So, yeah, hit me up on
Discord. I'll forward that email to you then.
Yeah. Anyways, keep up the good work. Congratulations on reaching 400 Brooks.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
So, big news.
I have no idea about PC specs, so... I can't be of any help here.
Yeah, I'd say not a lot, honestly. Like, they optimize the game a lot, and, like, you can play it on probably a pretty cheap laptop. Like, I remember playing it on, like, a $200 laptop, and it wasn't great, but it was, like, manageable. That being said, they're also putting out the mobile version, so if you have a smartphone from the last, like, 3 years, you could try that. When it comes out, and it seems to be pretty glossy and looks pretty good from the small bits I've seen from it.
Yeah. I think, like, I don't know, like, the specs that you should be aiming for, but performance-wise, you probably want to aim for, like, at least a pretty solid 30 FPS. Like, I think that's pretty good, especially for teamfights. Anything lower than that is going to be kind of difficult. As coming from someone who would get 3 FPS during team fights, it was very hard to play League. Cool. Thank you, Brooks. Next email is from Carius. Dear Aiden, Colton, and Nick, congratulations on reaching 401 episodes. Oh, another one. No cursed email this time, even though last week's reaction from Nick is a memory that I will cherish forever. Massive props to Aiden for the game show special. It was extremely fun to witness. I grew up watching Jeopardy, and you did an amazing job capturing the feel of the game. On to an actual question. It's kind of specific, but maybe it could spark a discussion around the current state of mage support, since mage supports have been absent from Worlds games that I've seen so far. I'm currently a brand support main. Do you have any suggestions on another champion I could main for those days when I'm not motivated to grind it out with brand? Here's a list of things that I like about playing brand. Not overly mechanical. I play support for a reason. Brings utility to the team. Stun plus AoE stuns or AoE slows with Rylai's on 3 abilities. Carry potential in itemization trapping. Good damage for when team is lacking in magic damage. Skill expression. Can pull off things like solo killing mid and AD carry when I play extremely well. Is not Yumi or Zyra. In the spirit of early Aiden listener emails, please reply. Again, you guys are great, and I love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Regards, Carry Us. Pronounced Carry Us like Carry Us.
Annie.
Did you guys ever... Okay. did you guys ever take showers with socks?
I meant to. I forgot.
I also meant to and didn't. And we were talking about it that one night, and I got out socks that were, like, for my shower, and I just never put them on.
What? Okay. Hang on. Thought process real quick, because I was thinking about doing it tonight. What do you do after you have wet socks?
You take them off.
Do you just... No. But do you just, like, leave the socks in the...
You hang them up the bathtub? So they dry.
So they dry? Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But do you put them in your oven?
I don't know. I got to that point. I would get to that point and then just like, oh, I don't know how to approach this now.
Just throw them away. He just has wet socks on for the rest of the day.
Well, I don't know. This dude takes fucking showers with socks on. What if he just also walks around in those wet socks? We literally do not know.
We don't know, but not I this imagine.
Dude in particular, but the dude that he emailed about.
I imagine.
Like,
he takes
how can
them
we
off.
Know this guy's a lunatic?
I imagine you put them on, like, a drying hook or rack, like you put your towel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
I'll see you guys next week when we have Wet Socks, okay? We'll reconvene.
Wet Socks cast?
Yeah.
Can't wait to live the rest of my life with Wet Socks.
So other support suggestions that we have? I'm going to throw out Thresh. He has everything except for carry potential, I think. Well, he has everything except for, like, you can do a lot of magic damage.
I think the best analog to Brand to pull into support is probably Zyra.
I think instead of, like, trying to find a champion similar to Brand, we should try to find a champion that fulfills the things that he likes about playing Brand.
Mm-hmm.
Which is similar. It makes it similar to Brand, I would argue, by them being AoE, has carry potential, having skill expression, and then not being Zyra or Yuumi.
Oh, I didn't see the not Yuumi or Zyra part.
Yeah, that was the thing. Zyra doesn't fulfill part 5, which is not Yuumi, not Zyra.
I was going to throw out Xerath, but I do think he's a little bit more mechanically intensive. That being said, you can just max W and then he's easy.
Is he mechanically intensive?
Just the fact that everything he has is skill shots. And
that's fair.
That
Brand only has like 1.5-ish.
Mm-hmm. And that he's actually like useless if you don't hit them properly. Right? Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't have an ultimate if you're bad at skill shots.
Yeah. That's fair.
I have
three. Playing with Jhin, it's very fun.
I have three characters.
Three
ramping up in skill difficulty.
Ooh, okay. Hit us with the
tier list.
The middle one. Hit us with the middle one.
So the middle one and the top one. I'm not sure which one's harder, but I think this one's easier. Nivea support. I think Nivea support is super good. I think she's a lot of fun. I think she has a lot of the same AoE stuff. She has crazy carry potential late game. She has a bit of a learning curve, but I feel like it's relatively simplistic. And I also think she gets like away with like a lot of like good stuff early, like against like lower level players.
Okay. All right, now hit us with the easy one.
Veigar support.
Ooh, okay.
Okay.
I think Veigar support.
I would also put Annie in that box.
Yeah, yeah. I just talked about Annie like before. That was the first thing I yelled. But Veigar support, I think, is really good. I think you just max Cage right now. I think you can go Glacial Augment on support without feeling ever bad. And then you can just build your Freezy items. And you just provide CC with everything you do. He's actually insane. And he's like has obviously insane late game. And then my last one was Zilean, which I think is like probably the hardest one to learn, but I think he can fulfill some of those like itches that you want while like kind of diversifying your playstyle a bit.
Hmm.
But is a little tricky to play.
Yeah, I think he's the hardest out of those three, but he's definitely fun.
Yeah, so I think those were all really good, Aiden.
Thank you, Colton.
One thing I did want to say, he was talking about the current state of mage supports and how it's been absent from a lot of the meta. And right, I think that's pretty clearly because mage carry in the bot lane is a thing. And right, the reason you pick a mage support is typically because you want more damage on the team. And maybe because you need a source of magic damage elsewhere.
Or like a lot of kill pressure in lane.
Yeah, but you have more kill pressure when you add a lot of CC.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what traditional tank supports are doing right now. And so, right, you just pair that Cassiopeia or that Brand or whatever it might be, like with a Nautilus or an Alistar, and it's just better. And I think that that's why we've seen a big fall away of like those AP supports. Is because it's just better to run a tank support and then just not have an AD carry.
And the thing is, like, tank supports are pretty good against mage supports anyway. Like, what is Brand going to do against Leona? Like, if he doesn't poke her out right away, he's going to die. And that's basically it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, pretty cool. Thank you, Karius, and good luck. Colton, you can read this last one. I'll allow it.
Yeah, you allow it. This last email is from Mariah. Subject, Colton's voice. Nice. Hi, I'm new to the podcast and have been catching up on past episodes. On one a few back, you asked to rate Colton's voice, and I just want to say he sounds exactly like one of my good pals who went away to college. So he's got a soft spot in my heart and is my favorite voice to hear. 10 out of 5. Thanks for making a wonderful podcast. Joke's on you, Mariah. I am your friend, and I changed my identity. I'm in witness protection, and you've compromised me. Now I need to move to South America.
It sounds like you compromised yourself.
Nope, it was Mariah. I need to move to South America. Aiden, I'm getting a free trip to South America on the U.S. government. Don't ruin this for me.
Fun. Nice. Cool.
Thank you. Thank you.
And I believe this is one of our newest patrons.
Yeah.
So thank you, Mariah. And we hope to hear from you again soon. That brings us hear you again. Jesus, I'm here. Maybe I am tired.
Maybe.
Go ahead, Aiden. Say it.
You're cute.
Say it.
You're very cute, oh. Nick.
I hate this positive feedback. That'll do it for episode 401. We did it through the new format and everything.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter at LeagueCast and at LeagueCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeagueCast. ts.leaguecastpodcast.com is our TeamSpeak server. Additionally, you can talk to us on Discord, which is on our website, or you can send us an email. Our website is LeagueCastPodcast.com. Our email address is mail@LeagueCastPodcast.com. Follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/BlueBasket/KingLardout. That's where we stream. Patreon.com/LeagueCast. Next week, we will probably be wrapping up our patron rework, so make sure you check that out if you are interested. It's going to be super cool, we think, and going to be a lot more interesting. So make sure you check that out. Thank you to everyone for listening and for supporting us. We'll see you next week for episode 402. Bye.
Bye.
Adios, amigos.